Let's turn together to God's Word and to Mark's Gospel and chapter 1, and we'll commence to read at verse 40. Now, a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in the deserted place, and they came to him from every direction. This is the word of God. Very often people are not aware of their situation, and as a result, they have no concern for it. Think about the skydiver who happily steps out of the plane unaware that his parachute has not been packed properly. There's a crisis, but he doesn't know it, and so he's not concerned about it. Or the driver who sets out on a journey blissfully unaware that all the brake fluid has leaked out of the brakes in the car, and it has no brakes. There's a crisis. She doesn't know about it, and so isn't concerned. The man in our passage this evening certainly wasn't in that kind of a situation. He was very much aware of his position. And it was this awareness of his state, awareness of what was in fact his impending death, that brings this crisis into his life. He's totally convinced of his dilemma, but he's also totally convinced that Jesus has the answer to his problem. Jesus can meet his need, can give him what he desires. The question for him comes in the form of, will Jesus be prepared to exercise that power for him? Not a question as to whether Jesus has the ability or not. He's convinced about that. It's a question of willingness. He can, but will he? This is a very interesting miracle, one that's packed with so many wonderful lessons, but I want to look at just a few things regarding this whole matter of conviction. First of all, notice the leper's condition. Luke, in his account, remember Luke's the writer giving the details here, and maybe it's because he was a doctor, a physician. Maybe we see this situation through the eyes of a medical man. And Luke describes his condition as being full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. Here's a man in a dreadful condition. He has leprosy. And as a leper, he's considered ceremonially unclean. No one would come near him. Certainly no one would touch him. He was considered dead while he was still alive. Totally beyond human help. There was no cure. Leprosy was something that was pretty horrendous to look at. Lepers usually covered their faces and all the infected areas of their body. But if it was awful to look at, think how much more dreadful it must have been to experience it. to have to endure it. And this man's case, Luke tells us, is far gone. He's nearing the inevitable end of the situation. Luke says he's full of leprosy. It's obvious in his appearance. His flesh was foul. His joints were rotting. His fingers and his teeth and his hair were gone, perhaps, and soon he would die. He was in no doubt about the seriousness of his condition. He was an outcast, alone, waiting to die. And what a tragic picture of a fellow human being. Indeed, if you think about it, what a true picture of fallen humanity. Of the man, the woman, the young person without Christ. God's word often uses the image of leprosy. Leprosy begins with one little white spot on the skin. Insignificant. Hardly noticeable. But it quietly spreads through the body. It eats away the very person. It's a bit like sin, isn't it, in many ways? Sometimes begins insignificantly in itself. Hardly noticeable. But quietly spreading and eating away at the individual. You think about it, sin is unnoticeable in a newborn child. But as he or she grows, so too does that disease of sin, and it spreads, eating away at the soul, gradually becoming more and more and more obvious as time goes on, separating from God, and often in its worst case, separating from family and from home and from friends and from society, until eventually left unchecked, it destroys body and soul, bringing death physical and spiritual. And yet, that's a picture of your condition this evening if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. Well, sin might not yet have taken you to those kind of depths, might not yet be too noticeable in your life. It's there just the same, coursing through your life stream, silently corrupting and destroying. It has already separated you from God. At present, you're unacceptable. You're an outcast to Him. You're full of sin. It's a sad picture. Alone, without God, without Christ, without hope, and heading for eternity. Luke says the leper's condition was that he was full of leprosy. But notice secondly the leper's conviction. His conviction. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. This man was conscious, as we've said, of the mess that he was in. He knew that he was dying. He knew that no one could help him. And he wanted out. He wanted cured. He wanted to live. He wasn't foolish enough to try to pretend that everything was all right, that he wasn't going to die. He had no desire to stay a leper. He wanted rid of his leprosy. He wanted a new life. And it's right here that he differs from so many who are without Christ and still in their sin. Even though deep down they know that it's destroying them. They know that sin is separating them from God. They foolishly pretend that it's not there. They foolishly think that it'll not do them any harm. There are even some who enjoy the thrill of playing around with something that they know to be so dangerous. They love it. They shut out its consequences. They are not, and they do not want to be, convinced of their true condition. They don't want to change it. Quite happy to stay with it. But the leper wasn't. He knew that time was running out. He'd have to have a cure. Now, we don't know, we're not told how he found out about Jesus. We don't know what it was that convinced him of Jesus' ability to cure him. Because it's interesting, there's no record of any previous cases of Jesus having cured lepers. This man's the first. So how did he know? However he found out, however he was convinced, he certainly held those beliefs very strongly. But most important of all, not only did he hold the belief, not only was he convinced, but he acted on it. Acted on it. You see, he could have simply said, well, I know for certain that Jesus could heal me if he was willing. But do nothing about it. Not this man. He acted on his conviction. He came to Jesus and he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him. He acknowledged Jesus' power to cure him. He said, you can make me clean. But he also acknowledges that it's Jesus' prerogative to heal him. He said, Lord, if you are willing, if you are willing. He's aware that he can't demand. He can't even expect healing. It will only come as the free will of Jesus. Again, how unlike the attitude of so many unsaved people who think that somehow or other God owes them. Who think that somehow or other they're entitled to salvation. They treat it like going to the supermarket. Whenever they feel the need. Whenever they feel like it, they'll just toddle along to God and they'll tell him that they want what is rightfully theirs. When I'm older, when I've had a bit more fun, when I've lived my life for myself, when I've reached the end of it, when it suits me, I just come along and get it. God's word makes it abundantly clear that God owes you nothing. Nothing but judgment for our sin. All we are entitled to, if you like, are the wages of sin. And those wages are eternal death. Salvation is not on demand in that sense. It's available at the free will of God. Not when man takes the notion. Jesus certainly has the power to cure. He has the power to save you. But you need to call on him. You need to plead that your case needs his hand upon it. Never think, as so many seem to do, never think that God is at your beck and call. Notice how this poor soul comes to Jesus. He comes alone. Unlike the 10 lepers, he's by himself. It's not easy to do that. It's a lot easier to take that step when others are taking it at the same time. It's hard to do it alone. It's easy when all your friends are doing it. It's harder to step out on your own. But the leper had thought it all out for himself. He thought about his state. He thought about what was going to happen to him, that he was going to die. He thought about one who could save him, who could give him life. And he got up and he went alone. Didn't matter about the rest. They could die if that's what they wanted. But he wasn't going to if he could help it. Maybe I'm speaking to you this evening and that's the hard bit for you. Doing it alone. Coming to Jesus alone. That's the barrier to salvation for many. Your friends are not coming. They want to stay with their sin and with its consequences. It's hard to step away from them alone. Can I say to you, think very carefully. Think very carefully. Would you really rather die and go to a lost eternity with your friends or live and enjoy God's salvation and go to heaven with new life and new friends? Be wise. If they want to perish, don't let them take you with them. Just because you're afraid to step out alone. I can assure you, you'll not be alone for too long. This man wanted healed. He believed that Jesus could do it. He begged him to do it. He came alone to Jesus for life. What about you? Do you want salvation? Do you want new life? Do you believe that Jesus alone can give it to you? Will you step out? Will you come to him? Even if it means coming alone. Seek his mercy and his grace and his salvation. The leper's conviction, he was convinced Christ could save him. But notice third, the Lord's choice. He says, I am willing. I am willing. See, the leper saw where the source of his salvation lay, in the will of Jesus. If Jesus was only willing, the leper could be made whole without a word ever being said. It would be as good as done. Jesus has the right to do as he pleases. He says to the man, I am willing, be clean. Can you imagine the music that must have been to that poor man's ears? You know, there's no record of Jesus ever saying, I'm not willing. I'm not willing. Yet his saving grace lies in his control. It's his alone to give. And none of us can demand it. God is no man's debtor. He owes no one anything. And he can do as he wishes with what is his. We're reminded of that in Romans 9. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. This man recognized that great truth. And he came and he cast himself on God's mercy. He certainly wasn't disappointed. The heart of tender love and compassion was moved by his need and moved by his conviction. And the Savior stretches out his hand and touches him. Like J.B. Phillips' translation of it here. He has Jesus saying, of course I would be clean. Of course I would be clean. Nobody pitied lepers in those days. They were thought of as being smitten by God as a curse. And they were to be avoided at all costs. But Jesus pitied him and rewarded him with his love and with a cure. And immediately he spoke, the man was healed. Just as the demons fled at his command, here every trace of this terrible disease fled from his body. He was made clean. Place of death, there came life, the new start. How could this be? Well, we can't tell. Except the one who created in the first place can recreate and restore. What a wonderful Savior we have to offer. Doesn't matter how big a mess your life is in. Doesn't matter how far gone you are. Jesus can cleanse it. He can make it whole. He can transform it. In place of death, there will be life. There will be a new start. He'd never worry about coming to him and finding him unwilling to save you. That will never happen when you come honestly and sincerely in repentance and in faith. He will save you. He has promised, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Again, Phillips puts it like this, I will never refuse anyone who comes to me. If you really want to be rid of this dreadful disease of sin that's at work within you, seeking to destroy you, that makes you dead even while you live, here's the answer. Here's the answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that through his death on the cross for sin, that through his resurrection, he and he alone has the power to save you, to cleanse you, to give you new eternal life. And come and fall at his feet and beg him to work that cure of salvation in your life. Come earnestly, come honestly. You'll not be disappointed. His response will be, of course I will. Be clean. Salvation will be yours. He can save you. He wants to save you. That's why he came to this earth. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Will you come to him this evening? In repentance and faith. They might touch your life and renew it. And lastly, we see the Lord's charge. He says, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Following his cure, he is immediately charged by Jesus to say nothing about what has happened. To go and to fulfill the law of Moses as it applied to people in his position. God had laid down that when a person was cured of leprosy, they were to go to the priest. The priest would examine them carefully and publicly declare that they've been cured. They would offer a sacrifice of two clean birds. One was killed and the blood sprinkled. The other was set free. It was a public declaration of a change that had taken place, of a cure that had been experienced. God had, if you like, laid down an ordinance. And Jesus charged this man to carry out that ordinance. He wasn't to go about making claims by word of mouth by himself. He was to do it God's way. Go to the priest, offer the sacrifice. Be publicly declared clean. That's how his claim of new life, of a transformed life, was to be authenticated. The evidence of a change had to be seen, had to be testified to. It may surprise you to know that same principle applies when it comes to salvation. Not often mentioned along with the gospel, but it's clearly there just the same. When a person comes to the saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when they've had their sin forgiven, they've received salvation, they're enjoying eternal life, they're to tell others about it, to publicly declare their salvation. Again, Paul says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. This man didn't do what Jesus told him. We don't read anywhere of him going to the priest and offering the sacrifice. He was cured. I think you'll agree that it's a very strange way to show your gratitude to the one who has healed you, has given you new life, to live in disobedience to his wishes. And there are still those like him, saved, having received God's forgiveness and eternal life, but they've never obeyed his charge. They have never publicly declared that faith. Again, it's a very strange way to show your love and your gratitude for the one who saved you and who keeps you. The leper's condition, he was full of leprosy, full of sin, dying in sin, separated from God. His conviction, if you will, you can heal me. Do you believe that this evening, as far as your life's concerned, that God can turn that life around, that God can deal with your sin? Will you act upon that belief? Jesus says, I will be clean. He'll not turn you away. He'll welcome you with open arms and he will cleanse you fully. The Lord's charge, go show yourself, fulfill the law, declare to others your faith in Christ. It's a matter of conviction. The man realized he was dying in corruption and no one could save him. He believed that Jesus could heal him. He acted on his belief. He came and sought the cure through his Savior. received life, love, and cure. Oh, that you would realize your condition as one dying in sin. And there's no one can save you. That you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who died to save you. That you would come believing and seeking the Savior. Seeking His pardon. Seeking His salvation. And receiving that love. That life. And that eternal cure for sin. Let's pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we once again thank you for your word. We thank you for the message of the gospel. We thank you that there's one in the glory who is able to save unto the uttermost all who will come unto God by him. We thank you that many of us here this evening can give testimony to his willingness and his ability to save. Many of us can look back to that time when, like the man in the passage this evening, we realized that we were sinners and that no one could help us. And we realized that Jesus was the only answer. And we came in repentance and faith. And we found him to be faithful. He dealt with our sin, gave us new life, eternal life. Oh, Father, we pray this evening for any in our gallery who as yet have not realized their condition. Oh, that in mercy and in grace you would reveal it to them. Show them the one who can meet that need. Bring them to that place of calling on him that they may be saved for time, for eternity. Father, we thank you for the refreshments that have been provided for us. We pray that you'll bless them to us and our continued fellowship together. We pray for the young people as they meet this evening. Again, we ask that they too might know your presence and know your blessing. And that all of us, as we finally go our separate ways, might experience your peace and your power in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.